Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. And it is Saturday evening, July 9th, 2016 at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. And I welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you here and hope some of you have been listening. I know some of you are new as well. And welcome to all of you. And then I'd like to give an especially warm welcome to Sri Kadaji, who is the leader of this very ancient teaching. Sri Kadaji is the Mahaji and the 973rd living Sraosha master in an unbroken line of masters. Sri Kadaji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks very much. Now, for the listeners who are here for the first time, I want to mention we are going to go through some of the fundamental aspects of this teaching so we can cover the basics and give you some information as to how the teaching got started, why it exists, what it means to be a member of this teaching. And then Sri Kadaji will additionally enlighten us with other esoteric insights that he usually gives to us, that he actually always gives to us every show that we have. So this is not a recorded show. Well, I mean, it hasn't been recorded prior to this. We're live right now, and we don't have a set script. We're talking about the very ancient teaching, the ancient ACTA, the ancient science of Sahaji. So, Sri Kadaji, when we say it's an ancient teaching, what does that mean? How ancient is ancient, and is it more ancient than anything else that exists?
Well, sometimes you mention that it goes back before the dawn of time, and I agree with that because it sometimes spans that great distance of time. And saying that phrase at the same time, the issue is that sometimes the teaching isn't public. That means it's not taught to anyone. But the living Sraosha master always exists, whether he teaches it publicly or not. He'll sometimes not teach publicly and then teach one-on-one to students privately. So it always exists in time and space. So that's something we need to understand. That the living Sraosha master in this long, unbroken lineage doesn't necessarily always publicly teach it because sometimes it's persecuted. And we say, why is it persecuted since it's so simple? And then when we give the fundamentals tonight, people will recognize and understand when they're listening how simple it really is. But it smacks in the face of the lower world negative force, which is we call the Kala Niranjan. It's called the Niranjan force. It's a negative power. And that's the real problem, albeit the teaching is real simple, but it goes against all the forces in nature, or not necessarily nature, maybe the forces against nature, I'll put it that way. All right, now getting to the fundamentals, which are very important, and as you say, the reasons for it existing is that soul often yearns to find spiritual liberation because it can't, he or she or it, actually the soul is a divine it, but not suggesting an androgynous state physically, I mean you're male or female, but at its essence, the soul is a neutral force. So for want of a better word, we use the word it, albeit some people are repulsed by that. But so be it. It's a neutral force. It's kind of in between the female and the male forces. And therefore, what we try to explain, that the essence of this mankind or humankind is the light and sound, an individual spark of divinity that one can hear as the sound current. And this is very important because there are a lot of other teachings that do teach this sound current, but they don't stress it as much as we do because we consider ourselves the original teaching of the sound current, the original teaching of the movement of Sahaji, that's why we call it the ancient science of Sahaji, that once we learn about this sound current, this soul, this essence of what we are, we learn to move in that soul in the practice of Sahaji, which is the movement of soul, to gain a higher level of consciousness. So we don't just sit in a chair. We have a practice called contemplation that looks like meditation. The meditation is really the derivative of contemplation, or as I call it, a misinterpretation of contemplation. And why we do this is we allow each day, practicing it for 30 minutes, we allow ourselves to gain this inner liberation, because that's where it lies. God is not in the physical universe. Like in Star Trek, they had Shakari, which was supposed to be the supreme deity, but it doesn't exist physically. It's a spiritual supreme deity. And most religions and other teachings would agree that we're talking about a spiritual essence. We're not talking about a physical presence. And so this sometimes is mixed up with physics and science and religion, but we don't mix it up. We make it very simple that one can hear their sound current and experience it as light. It's one and the same. We call it the Srosha. The Srosha is the light and sound. And the term itself has S-R-A-O-S-H-A, which Sra is the higher Sanskrit word for sound, and Sha is a higher Sanskrit word for light. So we have in the word itself sound and light. And therefore, we stress the fact that one should try to tune into the sound current. People listening to the show this evening should try to go in a quiet place and listen to their sound current if they haven't already heard it before. Well, a lot of people have heard it, but they don't know the distinction of what it is because you don't have a matrix or a teaching that will explain what the sound current is. Like in medical science, they pick on the whole essence as some kind of disease called tinnitus, a sound that's a physical sound. But the proof is that once one experiences Sahaji, when they go out of the body and have this experience, they'll still hear the sound current. So it's very important to learn Sahaji to validate the fact of the sound current. Otherwise, you've got medical science that condemns it, and people around you that say it's just the vibrations of your physical body or some sort of nonsense like that. So when you have a Sahaji experience, out-of-body experience, you're not connected to the physical body, you're in soul, essence as soul, and then you can also hear the sound current. So it's important when we teach about the ancient science of Sahaji that one learns to practice that. At the same time they validate their own existence, they also gain spiritual liberation on the fifth plane. We call it planes of existence, regions, or dimensions. And the New Age teachers talk about dimensions. Whereas in Akatsu, we talk about planes of existence. All right, these are like levels of achievement within us. They are distinctive places that are, it's not just some kind of nebulous void that's out there. I know Buddhism teaches the void, but there are distinctive sounds and distinctive places that one experiences on the inner. If people have had out-of-body experiences, they know what I'm talking about because there are places there. Most people have dreams, and dreams are sometimes very lucid, and they can actually see things, tangible things, time and space, so to speak. And these are really the planes of the lower worlds, but there's also these images in the higher planes as well. It's just different, you see. And what you learn in contemplation is, by doing the daily contemplation, that you actually learn to understand what these places are, and we map it out in active for people. We're sort of the cartographers of spirit, if you will, or the spiritual guide, quite literally, as spiritual travelers. What we do is we show this superstructure, matrix, a true matrix of the lower planes, and then one learns to negotiate through them on the inner. It's really simple. But again, it smacks in the face of all the forces, especially the negative forces, in the lower worlds. And that's why it becomes an issue of persecution and people condemn it and this sort of thing. and it's only for 1 in 100 people, only 1% of the population can understand it, and that's called the ready soul. The ready soul will come to the path and become a member by signing up. We have an application online. It's a free membership. The books are free. Seminars are free. We don't get paid for this because why would one want to pay for spirituality that you already have? It's kind of ludicrous. And the service that we're offering is simply a guidance method that we freely give to people, that they should have that. We have about 3,000 members internationally. We've been growing over the past several years, but it was a hard start because we've been public for about 25 years or better. But at the same time, our responsibility is to give these presentations and to have people come to the path, and then we continue to teach and give seminars and that sort of thing. But maybe you'd like to take us through a contemplation, Leslie, and explain a little bit about the lower worlds and the goals and acts, if you will. So take a few minutes to do that. So I would really appreciate it. Sure. Thank you.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the goals, because the goals of ACATA and being on this path are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. Ultimately, everyone wishes to become a spiritual master, whether they're aware of that or not. Now, it's more of the fact that that mastery is present within everyone, and it's a matter of recognizing or realizing that mastery and putting to use the tools that they gain by that. So the first goal that I mentioned is self-realization. And self-realization is an experience that happens when one establishes themselves on the what's called the soul plane. The soul plane is the first plane that upon entrance into the pure positive God worlds. So there's no negativity in the higher plane. It's pure positive spirit. So when one, after studying for a few years in ACATA, when one receives self-realization, they're gaining this great awareness of who they are as soul, and they really don't have any doubts about who they are and what they're doing. They're very clear on things, and they have a great inner confidence that comes to them because they have been doing contemplation exercises for a long time. They're very strong in their experience and knowledge and wisdom that has brought them to this time. So being self-realized is a very special thing because it's true spiritual liberation when an individual gets to self-realization. So the next goal after that is on an even higher plane, the eighth plane in the God world, and it's here that one achieves God realization. So before God realization, the self-realized individual has gotten a complete understanding of who they are as soul, because we are soul. We don't have a soul, but we are soul, that unit of awareness that is immortal and goes on forever, and that part of us stays constant through eternity. But then when we obtain God realization, what's happening is we're getting a greater understanding of our connection as soul to God. So that you know, that's been coming all along because we've gone from the fifth initiation to the eighth initiation, because when we're established on the eighth plane, we achieve God realization. And it's a very interesting time, because we've advanced so much at this point and gotten such a great awareness that it's very, very important. And we're finding out who we are in the universe in relationship to God, and how we can interplay and what we can give back to the universe. So then when we reach the 10th plane, we achieve spiritual mastery. So spiritual mastery is our ultimate goal, but by no means are we finished unfolding there. Spiritual unfoldment is a constant process, and that is something that goes on. So there are initiations beyond the 10th initiation, and there are many masters that are on the path of ACATA that are spiritual masters, and they're above, they start at the 10th initiation and they go above that initiation. So spiritual mastery is a true wisdom of how we are operating within the universe. And there are many jobs that can be taken in the universe as a spiritual master. So you can be working on the physical plane, teaching or helping people, or you can also be working on the inner planes as a spiritual master. So there are spiritual masters that are alive in the physical body, and there are many members in ACTA that are alive in the physical body that are spiritual masters, but there are also spiritual masters that have existed for a long time that are on the inner planes. People like Satsang Gopal Das, and there are many other masters that Katadaki, many other spiritual masters, Pedar Zask, that can be visited on the inner planes, and often they're working at the temples of golden wisdoms as one of the guardians of the temples. They might be teaching classes. There's many responsibilities that they hold. So as we get into our spiritual mastership, we finally learn what our responsibility and our choice of helping with the running of the universe would be. Now, the way that contemplation exercise that Trikadasi mentioned plays into this is that the contemplation exercise is what propels our spiritual unfoldment. And it's not to say that one cannot become spiritual unfolded by not doing the contemplation exercise. It's just a more difficult process and a slower process, and there's always a danger of when one does not do the contemplation exercise that they may become unbalanced. It really is possible for anyone at any level to get off the middle path, to go from one end to the other, to the extreme. That's why the contemplations are very important. So what happens when one does a contemplation is that it looks very much like a meditation exercise, but in contemplation, we're sitting quietly. We can have our feet flat on the floor, we can have our feet, our legs crossed in tailor fashion, Indian style, and we can also be relaxed in a comfortable chair, but most importantly, we want to be in a quiet place. So we want to have no noise that's interrupting with our contemplation. We want to have as little distractions as possible. And it's very important to try to eliminate all kinds of extraneous noises, wear earplugs if necessary. And, you know, many people live in cities and it's hard to get the traffic noise out of range of hearing. So I wanted to mention that. It's always great to be in a salubrious setting if you can, but it's not possible for everyone to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to sit comfortably, put our attention on what's called the third eye or the tishwatil, or we can use the crown chakra, which is actually the highest chakra. You can use either of these two points because the vibrations at these levels are very, very high. Now, the crown chakra is also known as a soft spot where when babies are born, their soul enters through the crown chakra when babies are born. So what we're going to do is close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths to relax, and then I'm just going to bring you through a very short version. We're going of this just for a few moments, and we're going to chant the word Hu, which is a very high vibrational word that also means God. It's a higher Sanskrit word that does have another the other meaning of God. And this will completely obliterate any kind of negativity that's in the realm, whether it's on the inner or the outer levels. Chanting word here will bring complete balance at the moment that you chant it. And throughout the day, you're free to chant it on the inner or the outer. And you don't necessarily want to be chanting out loud in front of people, but you can be thinking it and chanting it within you. So here we go. Close our eyes for those who would like to follow, and it just sounds like this. You. 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 Baraka Bashad, which means may the blessings be. Now, you can chant this for a few moments. The important thing is that when we do the contemplations, you want to do that for a 30-minute period every day, because that brings complete balance and protection. That's why it's so important to do it on a daily basis. And it's not a mandate, but it is highly recommended that we do that daily. So when you're doing your contemplation, you might see the light, the inner light, which can be a white light, or the blue light, which is, or a blue star, which is the light of the inner master of Sri Kadachi. Or you can hear the sound current, which might come through as a high-pitched electrical sound. It can also be heard as musical instruments and different sounds on different planes. And if you want to learn a little bit more about that, you can read the introductory to Agata, which is on our website, agata.com, and you can just download that for free, and it has some information there on the different planes and the sounds and the colors and words that are associated with each plane to give a clearer explanation. Sri Kadachi, would you like to add anything to what I said at this point?
Well, I'd like to thank you for that very wonderful explanation of the goals. Also, I wanted to add that the hue is called the universal mantra, that anyone can use the hue chant. And it's also in the word human, hidden away there. It's like the Arthur Conan Doyle said, you want to hide something, put it in plain sight. So that hue chant is very important, as you were saying so specially, that it dispels the negativity and puts one into a neutral state immediately. And both on the inner planes and the outer planes. So the universal mantra has been around for a long, long time. It's very old and ancient. We use this often, especially for new people, that don't have their individual mantra. That means that when we give these initiations that we were talking about on each one of the planes, one gets their individual mantra that links them up specifically to their own sound current. Now, everyone has that. The mantra just helps to reinforce that sound current all the time. Because, as you said, there's spiritual protection against the negativity in the lower planes, because we all understand that. At the same time, how do we ward that off? And that's the one way is through the very special mantra called the hue. So we highly recommend that people use that mantra and feeling free to do that. And maybe people had never heard of that, and this may be the first time that it has been mentioned to you. The Om, O-M, which is behind the lower planes comments and wording, when people will do the coordinating conjunction Ah, actually the mantra Om is behind that. But that's why the lower worlds exist in that lower mantra, the fourth plane. O-M comes off the fourth plane, and you cannot get any higher. We're talking about particularly specific physics, if you will, or spiritual physics, whatever you want to call it. It's this speciality of doing certain vibrational factors in one's life to tune into this special sound current that each one of us is individually throughout eternity. We're eternal soul, and we are this sound current. So when you hear this, a lot of people have really ecstatic experiences because they're overjoyed with realizing what their essence is, because they aren't taught that in the world. It's taken for granted that people are a soul, but they don't specifically state that. See, that's why it's important in terms of Akata that we specifically state what is soul. Where other teachings will mesh and merge the mind and soul together. My teacher, Paul Twitchell, had pointed out the separation of soul, mind, and body. Just like I know the New Agers have this magazine, Soul, Mind, and Body, but if you rifle through the book to try to get an explanation, it doesn't exist. They don't even explain it. So mostly the teachings combine the imagery of the mind, the fourth plane, as we talked about in the four lower planes of the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. Most teachings will merge the imagery of the mental plane with the spirituality of the soul plane, and that's muddling of the situation. And that's why religions are muddled and why we're the most direct and powerful teaching, the only one, because we specify specifically the distinction between soul and mind. It's really important. It's incredibly important. When my teacher taught me that many, many years ago, I was completely enthralled with the fact that I needed that. I needed that distinctive separation. What is soul and what is mind? So when you merge those two, there's a muddlement. And that's why people have a lot of problems on a daily basis, because they don't have that very important distinction in their lives. They don't separate the sound current from all the imagery and pictures that are around them that they create in dreams. For instance, psychology has measured 72,000 thoughts. If you can manage that, there's the first premise, second premise, and a conclusion every 3 seconds. If you measured it, it's ridiculous. See, so there's a constant state of the mind working overtime on pictures to resolve them and problem solving, all that stuff. When what we say and act is, we rise above it. We get above it in the soul plane, look at all the spuriousness that goes on in that realm. You see, so we say rise above it in the sound current in a very childlike manner and observe it in contemplation. That's how simple it is. We're not really, as you said, first person singular, we are soul. We don't have a soul. It's not a third person. We are a singularly soul, and when you rise above in the fifth plane and higher, then you're detached from those imageries, detached from the emotions, because we know that's in the astral plane. The emotions are the second plane above, and it's easy to go cold on these things. That's why we try to teach the five virtues that are contentment, compassion, patience, aesthetics, and nobility. And you can see compassion in there is sorely wanted in this country, in the West, because people do not have compassion when the populations explode like it's going on, because we just forget about our neighbor and everybody's running helter-skelter. So we learn how in Akita to do a daily contemplation and bring compassion back into your life. Whereas you're sympathetic to your neighbor, you help out, you negotiate, you facilitate, you do whatever you can to help things. That doesn't mean you cave into nonsense. You see, you can defend yourself at any time you wish. It's not a matter of the factor of sin. It's a factor of experience. I mean, I think that's the first time that's been said right here from Living Sroshi Master. So there's your wisdom each week, Leslie, that comes out from the
being. Yeah, that is absolutely true, because this is a path of experience. And we don't tell you have to have this experience, you have to do this or do that. We really, it's a path of spiritual unfoldment. And your own individuality just blossoms when you're on this path and you're doing the contemplations. It is amazing what changes come within you and what creative talents you have that blossom forth that you didn't even know that you have. So I'm going to briefly just say there is a talk that Sri Kanasthi is going to give this coming Thursday, the 14th at 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library. It's free and open to the public. It's in room 108 at the Philadelphia Central Library, a very large library, at 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. So please look at our website. There's more information about it there as well. We invite you all to be there and hear Sri Kadafji and meet him. It's a great opportunity, a wonderful opportunity that not everyone has the chance to have. And I
right.
do want to thank everyone.
It's a huge building, too. It's a huge building, so you can't miss
it. Beautiful.
It's a Greco-Roman
Roman
column
Greco.
On the outside,
mm-hmm.
too. So it's hard to
right.
miss it. You have to.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm sorry. We've only got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank everyone for being here, especially Sri Kadafji, and I want to give you the opportunity to end very briefly here, if you would.
As the Master says, he raises his right hand, palm facing outward. I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bishad.